I want you to open your Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Title of this message in this series is, I Will. And that I is not me and you, that I is Jesus Christ. Our series text is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And most of these will be coming out of the New Living Translation this morning. Now all glory to God who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Other translations say than we might think, ask or imagine. I want to ask you a question this morning. Oh, this is the part of preaching I have missed, being able to come down here and see you all face to face. How many of you believe you have a pretty good imagination? Okay, yeah, well, that's good you think that. But our theme verse tells us that Jesus Christ is ready through His mighty power to do more in your life and accomplish more through you and me than we could ever ask or think or imagine. Now, if you have missed any of the sermons in this series, please go to the church website or that'd be the easiest way, and listen to these sermons and understand that Jesus Christ wants us to be a participant. But it's not in our strength and power. Amen? I want you to get this point down this morning. We'll go to the next slide, please. You can never do what only God can do. See, we get in trouble when we try to do God's job for Him. We also get in trouble when we tend to forget that God has a part in all of this that only He can do. You can never do what only God can do, and God will never do what He has called you to do. I want that to sink in a moment. Because this message today is things that only God will do. Jesus says several times in the Gospels, I will, and He tells us what He will do. And we need to start letting Him do what He says He will do. But at the same time, we need to understand there are things that God has called the church to do that He will not do Himself because it's our responsibility. Amen. All right? How many of you would like to know how we can reach the next level and become a church that is a little more able to make certain decisions ourselves? All right? You know how that happens? That happens when you do what God has called you to do, to go out and bring people into the family of God, and we bring them into the church, and they become an active participant and member of the church, and we grow, then we can reach a level where we become more self-governing. But God's not going to bring people in here because He's told us to go out into the highways and the byways and to bring them in. Amen? All right. I want you to get this concept down because we're going to see what God has said that He will do, and we need to let Him do it. Here's the first thing. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus says, I will show you how to fish for people. Now, we talked about this in one of the sermons a few weeks ago, where He was on board, and Peter and the others, Peter, James, John, Andrew, and those working with them, they had been out there fishing all night, had caught nothing. And Jesus comes along, and He gets in the boat with Peter, and He says, toss your net on the other side. And Peter, I can just imagine what's going through Peter's mind. Peter goes, I'm the fisherman, you're the carpenter. It's too late in the morning to fish, and that's the wrong side of the boat. Now, let's be honest about it. How many times has God spoken to us and said, do this way, and we've looked at God and said, you're nuts. Now, maybe you didn't use that exact term, but in all honesty, when you argue with God, that's what you're saying. God, you're nuts. You don't know what you're talking about. Well, all of a sudden, we know the story. They caught so many fish, their nets began to break. And all of a sudden, Peter fell at his feet and says, "My Lord, my God." Jesus looks at Peter and the others. He says, "Listen, you've been fishing for fish. I'm going to teach you how to go out and fish for men. I'm going to teach you how to go out and bring people into the family of God." Jesus will do that. When you are open and ready, He will show you in your setting, in the confines of your personality, how to fish for men and bring them in, people into the family of God. Amen. Some would say, "But Pastor, that sounds like a lot of work." Can I tell you, serving God is work. And if we try to do it all in our own power, we will be wiped out and fatigued most of the time. But we go to the next scripture, Matthew 11:28. Jesus is also the one who said, "I will give you rest." How many of you growing up attended church youth camp? I will tell you, there was many times, when I go to church youth camp, I got involved. There was only one way to do everything, and that was just full steam ahead. You woke up and you had to clean the dorm, and then you went to breakfast, or vice versa, and then you got ready and you got showered, you got dressed, you got went to classes, and you had this activity, that activity, then you had mail call, then you had lunch, then you had athletics all afternoon. And I can tell you, even in Mountain Air at that higher elevation, it would get hot in the summer. But there was only one way to do it, right, Treva? That was you participated. Otherwise, it was no fun. And you would finally get to the end of the recreation time, and it was time to go shower and get ready for supper and then this evening service. And there was times, by the time I'd done that all day, I was wiped out. All I wanted to do was to convince the counselor that it would be okay for me to crawl into my bunk and sleep. But you couldn't. But I tell you what, in my teenage years at youth camp, I discovered a truth that I've tried to carry with me. I would drag into that chapel, into that tabernacle, and I'd find a place to sit. I'd sit there and I'd think, "Oh God, I just want to go to sleep." But as the music began, as the guest speaker for that week began to share the Word of God, as I began to let the Spirit have His way, I began to discover something, that the rest I would receive from that time of worship and that time of the Word was more refreshing than the 8 hours or so of sleep I was going to get back on that bunk in my sleeping bag. I get really concerned when I hear children of God talking about how worn out and tired they always are. Because right here, our Lord and Savior makes it very plain. He says, "I will give you rest." Friends, I'll tell you, the rest that Jesus wants to give us is not just rest for the body we get from sleep. It is rest for the mind. It is rest for the emotions. It is rest for the spirit. And He will willingly give it to you if you will receive it today. Amen? You all are being a little quiet. Don't be so quiet. The camera and the microphones were picking you up before. It's just it was at the back of the room, not hanging in the middle. John 6:37, this goes along with this one. Jesus also says, "I will never reject you. I will never turn my back on you." How many of you ever had somebody walk out of your life and turn their back on you and it hurt you and broke you deeply? We all have. Can I tell you, Jesus Christ will never leave you. He will never reject you. He will never forsake you. I'm going to tell you right now, in all honesty, if you're not as close to Jesus Christ now as you were 6 months ago, He's not the one that moved. Boy, you're quiet on that one. Remember, I said I wanted you, I loved having you back here because I wanted response. How many of you remember the days of full bench seats in the front of cars? Boy, I wish they'd bring them back. The story is told This goes back, and those of you that remember those, you like me, you dated yourself as being old, but that's okay. The story's told of the young couple they were dating, and they'd get in his car, and oh, he'd have one hand on the steering wheel, and he'd kind of motion, she'd slide all the way over there, and he'd put his arm around her, and they'd go driving along, and oh, he just loved having her there. Time went by, and he finally popped the question, and they'd get in the car, and she'd still be sitting over there close to him. Then came the big day. They walked the aisle. They said, I do, and they got married. They'd get in the car, and she'd still sit by him. But as time went by, she stopped sliding across that seat. And finally, one day, they'd been married about 3 years, and they get in the car to go somewhere, and she gets in a huff. He says, what is your problem? He's racking his brain like us husbands do, thinking, what did I do now? And she says, when we were dating and even when we were engaged and when we first married, you used to put your arm around me and sit so close to me in the car. And he looked at her funny. He says, dear wife, I'm not the one that moved. I'm right where I always was. And then they invented consoles. Friends, let me tell you something. If you're not as close to Jesus as you were before this COVID-19 started, he's not the one that moved. Because he says, I will never reject you. Here's the next thing he says in John 14:14. He says, you ask me. No, I'm sorry. John 14:21. I'm skipping something in my notes. He says, I will love you and I will reveal myself to you. John 14:21. I will love you and reveal myself to you. Friends, let me tell you, there are many people we encounter in life that they're always hiding something. There's always a secret agenda. There's always something that we know is not quite right. But Jesus says, I will love you and reveal myself to you. Friends, however close you are to Jesus right now, however intimate your relationship is with him right now, there is another level you can go to if you will let him, because he always wants to reveal more of himself to you, more and more and more. I've encountered a few people that have said, well, you know what, I think I've got it all down. I've reached the highest level I possibly can. I've learned it all. And I just had to look at him and shake my head and say, oh, you poor, foolish person. I posted this morning in one of my videos, and I had to go back and post, one of our great ministers and Christian apologists, Ravi Zacharias, is fighting terminal cancer. And some posted that they thought he'd already passed away. I'm not sure. The news is kind of sketchy at the moment. But even a man like Ravi Zacharias, who God has used mightily, the man knows the Word of God. He has a great relationship with his Savior. And yet, I will tell you, until the moment he takes his last breath, there will always be more of Jesus Christ that can be revealed to him. You want to know when you have reached the highest level you can possibly reach in this life with your relationship? You will breathe your last and you will go. Amen. Let me interject this. One of the reasons we do not have to fear the coronavirus is this. And some of you that follow me on Facebook, I posted this quote the other day. I won't be able to quote it exact. But basically it's this. It was from Charles Spurgeon. The child of God will not die 1 second too soon or 1 second too late. Because your days have been numbered by the Lord. The other day on one of our trips to Cruces, which I forgot, praise God, Christopher's out of the cast and out of the boot, and he's walking in shoes. We were at my hobby, old time radio. We were listening to one of the old time radio shows, and it was called "The Name on the Bullet." And it was about a man who been a soldier, been in the military, and he talked about that a lot of soldiers had this idea that bullets in war, bullets will whiz around you and you will hear them, but there will be one bullet that you do not hear because it is the bullet with your name on it. And it will be the bullet intended for you. That's the same concept, the same idea. Folks, don't fear the virus. Don't fear flu. Don't fear cancer. Don't fear heart attack. Don't fear any of these things. Because the truth is, even if you get them, you will not die one moment before your Heavenly Father says you are. Amen. To die. Amen? That's why we can live in faith and not in fear. John 14:14. Jesus says, if you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. Amen. Now, I want to put the disclaimer on that. Most people should be smart enough to recognize that what Jesus meant. When we ask anything in his name that's not contrary to his word or his will, okay? I can pray all day for a pile of gold dust to appear in the church parking lot and it's not going to happen. Because I don't think that's God's will. But when I pray for God to keep my church family safe and protected in the midst of this coronavirus and provide for the... that's in God's will and he'll do it. Now, does that mean you won't get the virus? No, not especially, but it means even if you do, he's still going to have his hand upon you and he will take care of you through it. I've had some people say, well, if you believe God is the healer, how come not everybody you pray for is healed? You know what? My job is to pray for them to be healed. It's God's part to decide how and when. Amen? Now here's a good one, and I'm going to make sure I explain a little bit of this for you. Matthew 16:18, he says, I will build my church. He builds the church, but he's given us jobs to do to help in the building process. Our job is to share the gospel. Our job is to witness to people. Our job is to plant seed. It's his job to do the growing. How many of you are gardeners or farmers? Sort of? All right, let me rephrase the question. How many of you have ever tried to grow a plant? Okay. Your job is to take the seed and put it in the soil. Water, fertilize, place in the sun, right? Okay. Do you make the seed die in the ground and spring forth with new life and grow? No. We do not do that. We provide the environment and we do our part, but it is God who through the process of nature literally causes that seed to die in the ground and spring forth with new life. Then once the plant begins to grow, we step back in to participate and we take care of it. Again, watering, feeding, sunlight, etc., etc. But the actual process of growth is God's job. It's the same in his church. I can share the gospel with people. I can encourage them. I can instruct them. I can pray for them, but I cannot save them. But when I do my part, and they reach that point where they're ready to do their part, then God and the Holy Spirit does their part. And then we step back into the picture to share and to grow, to share with them and to help them grow and to instruct them. I will build my church. I will tell you, in many years of ministry and even more years of growing up in the church, I have seen well-meaning pastors, well-meaning church people try all kinds of gimmicks and games to grow the church, and it does not work. Let's stop trying gimmicks and games, and let's do what the creator of the church said to do, which is to go into all the world and preach the gospel, which is to go into the highways and the byways and to compel them to come in, which is to show them the greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with our whole being and to love our neighbor as ourselves. If we'll begin to do it His way and participate in the way He's told us to and to do what He has instructed us to do, then let Him do what He says He will do, the church will be built and the kingdom of God will be expanded. Amen? Here's one of the most important I wills in all of this that will help us to do that. John 16:7. Jesus says, if I go away, then I will send the Holy Spirit to you. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that in Genesis it doesn't say in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth and He wound it up like a clock, tossed it into the cosmos and says, there you go, have at it. Aren't you glad He's not a hands-off God? Aren't you glad when Jesus left this earth and ascended back to the Father to take His rightful place at the right hand of the Father? Aren't you glad He didn't say, all right, guys, I told you what to do. Now make sure you pass it on and I'll see you in a few thousand years. No, He said, I'm going back to heaven. And when I do, the Father and I are going to send the Holy Spirit to dwell in you, to walk with you, to guide you, to teach you, to empower you. Folks, if we're going to be the church that He wants us to be, we've got to have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need to understand that when God uses us in ways, the gifts of the Spirit are not yours. They are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Our job is to be available and to be open so that when we need to use one, He reaches into that tool of gifts and He hands one to us and says, use this one. Matthew and I worked a lot together putting up that fence and doing some of these other projects. And we had a good time doing it. We kidded each other. And it was fun as we put those wooden slats up one at a time to watch the progress. And there was times that we kind of joke about maybe we needed to get a whole different tool. We were getting a little tired. We were using cordless drills with a lot of power. And I'll tell you, out here on this, I mean, I took down a whole lot of screws, and we had some help with that. But taking screws out, even with the power drill, you kind of, after a while, you just, ugh. And Matthew was working back over in the front yard of the house, and he was putting up slats by himself using a drill. And suddenly I had this thought. And I went to him, and I said, I just had the wildest thought, scary thought. He says, what's that? I said, what if we had to do this with hand screwdrivers? Yeah. Oh, he says, oh my goodness. He says, I tell you what, I don't remember what number he used. He said about 5 slats or less. He goes, I'd be done. Stop trying to do the task God has given you with your choice of tool. Let Him put the tool in your hand that's needed. Amen. You see, the problem is, some of you are pretty good with hammers. But there's times that God needs you to use the screwdriver, and you want to still use the hammer. As a kid, I hated screwdrivers. Especially, I still hate flathead screwdrivers, because it slipped out of the slot too easy. But I will admit, as a kid, I'd be working on some little silly something, and I'd get tired of using the screwdriver. Charlie, have you ever done this? You ever taken the hammer and pounded a screw in? Yeah. You know what? It works, but not real well. Some of us have not accomplished for the kingdom of God what we need to because the Holy Spirit's been trying to put the screwdriver in your hand and you keep hammering away. Let's let the Holy Spirit guide and direct us. Amen. And finally, here's the one real good reason that we are able to move ahead as people of faith. John 14:3, Jesus says, I will return. I will come back. This is all temporary. Are you hearing me, folks? AIDS, they're temporary. Cancer, temporary. Heart attack, temporary. Coronavirus, temporary. Migraine headaches, temporary. Government officials you disagree with, temporary. Pastors you don't agree with, eternal. No, I mean temporary. A Lord and Savior you don't always want to agree with, eternal. But we can get through all this. Why? Because he says, I will return. Oh. He's coming back. Now I'm gonna end with this. We say he's returning soon. How many of you know what soon means in God's timetable? I don't. Some have been saying, oh, this is it. He's going to come right now in the midst of this virus. He's going to come. He's going to come. I'm going to tell you why I don't think he's coming just yet. There's a place in the Gospels where Jesus says these words. He says, the Son of Man will come at a time you think not or you least expect it. You see, a lot of people right now are reaching out to God because they're scared. That's okay. We as the church need to take advantage of that and tell them, you know what? There's better reasons to follow Christ. Let me show you what they are besides just fear. Let me introduce you to faith. But when this all dies down, and it will, there will be a lot of those people that will turn back and they'll start to drift back into their old lifestyle. Our task as the church is to do everything within our means to keep them in. Let God do his job, but don't forget our job. Jesus said, I will, but he also said, you need to. Amen? I don't know about you, but when I look at all the things God said that Jesus said he will do for me, I just want to say, thank you, Lord, do them. I want to be open to let him do any and everything that he has said he will do. Amen? If that's you this morning, I want you to stand with me as we close in prayer. Tell you what, it has been so good to have you guys back in the building. It's also good to have those of you that are watching online. We will continue to broadcast. We are going to make sure that we expand our reach in every way possible. Because it's not just about this building. It's not just about the crowd in this building. It is about the fact that God has given us tools to use to get the gospel out there to any and everybody that we possibly can. Amen? Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for my church family. Thank you that we're back. Lord, we're not at full speed yet. We're not at full strength, but we thank you, God, for where we're at today. Lord God, I pray that every person that has heard this message today, whether it was in the building or through technology, God, I pray that they will be encouraged and they will be strengthened because you, Lord, have made it plain there are things you will do for us and you cannot lie. Lord, remind us that the only reason some of these things are not present in our life right now is because of our reluctance, not yours. And let the Holy Spirit come along and calm us down and strengthen us and help us to be open to your word and to everything you want to do in us, through us, and for us. And we ask it right now in Jesus' wonderful name. And everyone said, amen and amen. God bless you. Wednesday night, Bible study, 6:30 next week. Right back here, 10:30 again. God bless you.